Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and filled with the knowledge of His will. And now spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's take our seats quickly and get into the teaching for today. All right. Let's open our Bibles. We have been there for a while. The book of Ecclesiastes is what we have been studying. And believe me, I've been having a nice time doing about you. Anytime we start, I like to remind us of precisely what we are doing. Last time we stopped at the end of chapter 9, and we are going to continue reading from 10 today. And what we have been trying to do is to see the lessons of God from the book of Ecclesiastes as written by Solomon. I'd like to just emphasize it again, as people say sometimes, that this man was backsliding when he wrote this portion of the Bible. And I find that very strange. The Lord would not have permitted that to happen. He wasn't backsliding. What happened was that he just looked at life from the human perspective. And, you know, one thing about the scriptures which we'll find is that there is nothing new in your life today that people didn't go through before. Are you getting my point? And everything is written in the scriptures. There's no trouble you are going through now that the word of God hasn't described. Many people that claim they are confused about life, they just haven't bothered to read the Bible. If you read the word of God, you will know that Solomon has gone through those your confusions and he has solved them with faith. So what Solomon was doing was analyzing the confusions of life. And let me just repeat it again. Be careful when you are reading the book of Ecclesiastes. It is not everything Solomon says that he's telling you this is the word of God. Are you getting my point? Many of those things is just saying to you, these are the observations when we look under the sun. That is, if we don't bear in mind the things we know about the spiritual realm, these are the ways we will interpret what we are seeing. He stood aside and observed the confusions of human beings. The things that worry people, Solomon looked at them. For example, he will tell you, why is there oppression? Are you getting my point? Why are the righteous people not the ones succeeding the most? Why are the people that are wicked succeeding in their wickedness? He has seen many people that did wickedly and they died in peace. And he has seen many people that did righteously. At the end of the day, according to him, they perished in their righteousness. There is nothing new. People sit down sometimes and tell you that if there is a God, why is this happening? Solomon said he saw it happen too. And he said that does not mean there is no God. You are getting my point here? All right. And he told us that the sentence for sin, as a matter of fact, is not always quickly, all right, executed. He said for that reason, people persist in doing iniquity. Do you follow my point? He said even though we have said, yes, it will be well with those who do well. He said many times that their wellness, for us to see it, it takes a while. But again, let me emphasize, he said this is what? Under the sun. Solomon distinguished between two kinds of people. Those he called wise and those he called foolish. Let me quickly say this. When in the book of Ecclesiastes, when Solomon was talking about wisdom, he wasn't talking about the wisdom of God most of the times. He said a man is wise. What he meant is that a man is well educated. A man is informed. A man knows world affairs. A man reasons. A man is a philosopher. He is reasoned about life. Are you getting my point? Now, who are those he calls fools? Like we say in Western Nigeria, the omojae jae, omojae jae, just wake up in the morning, just feel good. What is going on? He said that the government has changed. He said, when? A country you are living in, they tell you the government changed, and you are saying, when? Those are the people he calls fools. All right? When he was talking about the wise people there, he was talking about those who understood life, who knew physics, who knew the weather, who could predict the weather, who can see the forces of nature, who knew economics, who understands the kind of people that will understand why the dollar is going down or going up, why Britain is Brexiting and did not what's the other one? It did not remain. Are you getting my point? The people who reason about those things, those who sit down and analyze why there's war in Iraq, why Syria is confused. You know, those people who think about those, those are the people he calls the wise. You have to bear it in mind. They are the ones he tells that their wisdom sometimes is confusing. That the more they know, the more they want to know. And even though they know everything, occasionally they find out that life has traps. Are you getting my point here? So Solomon now said that, okay, so what do we do? Are you saying we should walk foolishly, not caring what is going on? He said, no, I discovered that foolishness is very foolish. That if you start walking foolishly, you just fall into a gutter. That the foolish man doesn't have eyes. So even though we know there's a lot of limitation to wisdom, we still find it better than foolishness. And that's human wisdom he's talking about. He wasn't talking about divine wisdom. I forgot to mention that along the line, okay? But I'm happy I'm bringing it up now. That this human wisdom, even though it's confusing and we may not be able to be fully, we may not be fully in charge with it, we may not be able to control life effectively. He says it's always better than foolishness. That even though the wise man will die, the foolish man will die. He said, but it's better to be wise while you are alive than to be foolish. Those are the things he said. He said, however, all right, we've been talking about that. He was not saying to us that your wisdom, don't expect too much from it too. It's just a better experience. Are you getting my point? Now, he also talked about righteousness also. Those who follow the law of God, those who follow the ways of the Lord. He said, in effect, we have discovered that even though it does not always produce what people tell you to produce, it is still a better way to walk. We'll get to that one later. We have discovered it. There's still a better way to walk. And the lesson for us Christians, none of these things is, you know, let's check our motives. One thing Solomon kept on saying, he will talk here, talk there, go forward, go backward. And I said, you know what I found out? Don't worry about tomorrow. Whatever you want to do, make sure you enjoy doing it today. Let me give an example. Some people will say, there's one that's been flying around. That Shimon Peters built a house for 20 million in 19, what was that? 19, no, not 99. 1990, there about. 1992, okay. And that Jim Ovia invested 20 million naira in Zenith. And now not everybody has a room in Shimon Peters' house, but everybody, so to speak, has an account in Zenith. So they say what? Invest wisely. It sounds very sensible, right?
Yeah.
It's a very foolish thing. Most 20 million invested then are dead. That's what they don't tell you. Most 20 million invested then are dead. Invest your 20 million today. Is it 27 years time or 25 years time? Believe me, you won't know where it is. They make it look like the reason why Jim Ovia had 20 million, he just suddenly became Zenith Bank is because he did it on time. Solomon said, all is vanity. Am I saying you should squander your money? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying you should. But if you think that investing is guaranteed to give you another Zenith Bank, you don't realize that most people who invested their 20 million, it is so dead, nobody asks them where it is. You only know about Jim Ovia's own because he produced Zenith.
Yeah.
Who gave you the impression that that was the only investment Shimon Peters made? You think that was only 20 million he made? Many people who invested their 20 million and bought a jet. It's grounded. They wanted to start airline. Many people invested their 20 million in factories. China collected all the jobs. I'm telling you the truth. You think Zenith was the only bank that started that time? Where's ABC Merchant Bank? Thank you. Where's Savannah Bank? Give me banks that have gone. Citizens Bank. All States. Hallmark. See the way they are bringing the names of banks on every corner. There is a basket where all the dead banks are inside. So Solomon said in effect, oh boy, if you have 20 million, if you enjoy investing it, do it. If you enjoy eating it, eat it. There's no guarantee of what it will produce tomorrow. Many people have 20 million, they don't have sense. So, So they invested their 20 million and they never ate it and they never produced anything. Because somebody told them Zenith Bank came from a 20 million naira investment. So please, before you start going around, not sleeping again, looking for 20 million to make your tomorrow secure, Solomon said, I should tell you, don't worry yourself about it. If you don't know how to invest 20 million naira, don't bother. If what you know how to do, all right, is sing songs. Do you get my point? Forget the 20 million and start singing your songs. You know, I had a number of, I had some talk with some of my brethren. And one of them called me later and we're talking about results in life. I wrote something that God didn't send us to get results. He sent us to obey him. And the results are a gift of God. So a lot of discussion came up. Some say, if you're a pastor and the church is not growing, you should be concerned. I know. But you don't go and look for magomago to increase the number. And for goodness sake, the church is not growing does not mean you are failing. I can assure you of one thing. If Jeremiah was a pastor of a church, there was no member. Jeremiah, so he preached to an extent. He said, this job is a bad... He said, God deceived me. I would not have taken this job. He said, the only thing the preaching has brought for me is what? Enmity. Persecution. He said, so I said, I will not talk again. God said, oh, don't worry. I put my words in your mouth. You won't talk again. Let's see. Jeremiah closed his mouth. His bones began to explode. He said, the word became like fire, shot up in my bones, and I couldn't help it. The word had possessed him. So as long as the man was declaring the truth of God, he was succeeding. Whether they believed or not was not his problem. It was not a sign of his success. Isaiah preached and preached and began to prophesy. I have spent my strength for vanity. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So I was discussing with brethren and said, listen though, my brethren, I'm not saying you don't get results, but it's a gift of God. Your duty is to, he said, Paul was speaking, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. It's a gift. So the man that has a church of 10,000 people, you know, those days, if you go to South Korea and go and learn the principles of church growth. Anyway, I'm happy people have gotten tired. They said, you do home cell. We came to Nigeria, home cell was bringing armed robbers into different homes. In Lagos, Bishop closed the home cell immediately. And the church grew so fast, no home cell. There's no one car fits all. You're getting the principle here? That is, then everybody said, this is the principle. Look, forget it, everybody has gotten tired. Now, everybody applied the principle. Nobody anywhere replicated the, in quote, the success of Yonggi Cho. Nobody anywhere. He was able to gather 1 million people in a single church. No other church in the world came close to that. They didn't have 1 million. All the other ones that were that big were also in South Korea. Yes. That should have told us something. It may have been a South Korea thing. That's how God works with them. Many people applied it everywhere. It didn't work like that. And God therefore doesn't come and start counting how many members are in your church. No. So we discussed with my brethren, and along the line, one of our brothers called me and said, we now started talking about it. He told me something about, let me just give a bit of gist, you know, to enlighten you. He said there was a documentary watch one day called 20 Feet from Stardom. I don't know how many of you saw it. 20 Feet from Stardom. What was he talking about? You know what they call 20 feet? What do they mean by that? If Two-Face is singing in front, there are backup singers at the back. Are you getting my point? If any star is in front, there are backup at the back. So essentially, they are 20 feet behind them. So those people that back them up are fantastic singers, every one of them. If you see maybe Beyonce, all the girls backing her up can sing as well as she can sing. They said, but they've noticed that how come many of them don't make it? They said they now interviewed, what is this man's name? The blind guy. Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder said he too has considered it over the years. And he made up his mind that stardom is as if somebody gives it to you. He doesn't know what causes it. That they've seen people that with all kinds of talents, all kinds of things. They don't make it like that. One guy will just show from nowhere. Before they know what's happening, he's a star. So he said, it's as if, and that's the word, he said, it's as if it is given. When he said, I told you before that if you live long enough, you will discover the word of God. Many years ago, I read the story of Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford became, of course, one of the best known American actors. Well known. They said, okay, they were interviewing him. He tried to act. He tried and tried and tried, and he did not make it. He became popular late. All right? He made it in acting very late. And by that time, look at it, he had given up on acting. He had become a carpenter. Indiana Jones stuff came up, and then they now offered him the role. He did it, and then that was the beginning of his stardom. I read his interview in Reader's Digest many years ago, many years ago, not now. He said that no one can rightfully claim credit for anything. He said there is luck and there is grace. Time and chance, he was saying, happened to them all. You live long enough, you discover the word of God. That was Harrison Ford. So these are the things that Solomon looked at. And he said, my brother, just enjoy every moment. And what am I talking about, enjoy every moment? He was not saying party every moment. I don't know what I get my point. He didn't say make sure you party every moment. He said make sure you do what? Enjoy. That is, there is a kind of joy that God gives you in doing something. Do that thing every moment and enjoy doing it. For example, I tell people in ministry, this was happened to me. When I began to teach here many years ago, I said, I just wanted to do something that if God said this is all you will do all your life, I'm okay with it. Where's it going to get to? I don't know. There's no plan. He said, Pastor Man, God, what's the plan you have for the future of Kingdom World Ministries? Is to be showing up here regularly, preaching twice a week like this. And occasionally, we go out to go and preach and we come back. That is the only plan. Kenneth Hagin said, after many years of experience, he decided that, the ministry had to move to another phase. So they were just, one day somebody was talking to his wife, I think it was Novel Hayes. And they were now saying, Novel Hayes was telling, his wife was telling Novel Hayes that they are thinking about, you know, just relaxing somewhere, you know, get a headquarters somewhere. And just start a small Bible school so to be able to just teach young people the things that they have learned over the years of ministry. And instantly Novel Hayes had a vision. And he saw a big campus. They were thinking that, you know, a small hall, 20 people, 30 people coming periodically, learn from the senior man of God. Novel Hayes just said, oh, no. You know what I see? I see a big campus, thousands of students. As he began to say it, his wife said, no. Please. Kenneth Hagin's wife began to protest. And the man said, no. That's what the Lord has decided. And in 1977, thereabout, then they have been in ministry for quite a few decades, maybe like 30 years. He didn't start the Bible school as a small preacher. They have been in ministry for a very long time. I think more than 30 years, but I'm very certain now. They now started the Bible school. By 79, first of the students graduated. And the thing kept on growing and growing and growing until they have a very massive, what they call, Word of Faith Alumni, you know, Association, with pastors trained there in every corner of the globe. They did not plan it like that. But each time, enjoy every moment. Kenneth Hagin used to end his messages with something, which I say I do once in a while too. He will say, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I sure preach myself happy. You finish preaching, say, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I sure preach myself happy. That's what Solomon was saying. Preach yourself happy each time. Finish preaching and get home and say, baby, how was my message? When I finished, I was very happy. You ask your wife, where is it going to get to? Who cares? God has planned it. You can't plan it. That's what Solomon was saying. You know, that brother now gave me another gist. You know, he gets a lot of things like this, you know. When he told the story that Dangote told about his life, even me, I knew the spiritual principle. He gave me the name of one of these big men. I think that Christopher Kaladi, one of those guys. He said, one day they called Dangote and said, oh boy, you are a trader. Now this, not the episode, fact. You're just trading. Now let me give you advice. Senior men said, build something. And they told him, don't worry about money. It doesn't make money, but it makes a name. You have made money trading. They said, why don't you settle down and build something? So Dangote looked at it and took advice from the old men. Yes, I've made money. Let me make a name. So he gathered money and decided to bid for Obajana. He said that one, he almost died. So the man said he could not sleep. Ah, he saw a different level of business. The man, they said, for days he couldn't sleep. But finally, when that thing made it, that was how he became the, and of course, from one to the next, you bid for the next, he'll win it. Ah, they build it up. Next thing he knows that we can build a factory. And you know the truth about it? Then people outside, let me tell you something about the world. One day, Donald Trump, he sued a company that said he's a millionaire, not a billionaire. Yes, he dragged them to court. Why? They said Donald Trump is a millionaire. He's worth only about 300 and something or $400 million. There's not a billionaire. Now, you will have thought that's very ridiculous. Why do you sue for such things? And they said that, somebody now said that you must understand that Donald Trump, he said that for him, being a billionaire is a brand. In Trump Towers those days, the luxury condos he used to build, a typical one sells for $3.5 million. And not just like being, it's like buying a flat in a high-rise building. $3.5 million. But Donald Trump used to sell his own for $5 million. And before he finishes advertising, he has finished selling. So the person explained that, listen, that for Donald Trump, being a billionaire is a brand. If he's not a billionaire, why will you pay $5 million for what you can get for $3.5 million? That's why he had to tell guys, listen, my friend, don't misinform anybody. I'm a billionaire. You see, why am I talking about that? I'll tell you. You know Dangote right now? That was when I found out. Many times, Dangote is doing this. What happens is that people will come and say, we want to do this in Nigeria. And they will say the only person that they can trust to do it is the man that's listed by Forbes as a billionaire. Go and ask the man, did you plan to be a billionaire? No. I was trading until this old man came and told me, build something. And I began to build something. And that's why I am where I am now today. And believe me, when the man's refinery is open and they add it to his listing, mark my words, he will jump to be amongst the top 20 richest men in the world. That's how it goes. These are the things that Solomon saw and said, these guys, forget this thing. If you plot to be a billionaire, you will die. Yeah, that's what Solomon was saying. But sometimes you're just trading and then one day you become one. So Solomon said, guys, ladies, each person, identify what you can do and enjoy every moment of it. Don't get into competition. He says vanity. You will run after winning the race. And I'll give you a medal. You know the medal they used to give those days, Olympics? Those days, the old time Olympics. Leaf. Yes, they put it on your head. That's why Paul said, people labor for a race that perishes. But by the end of the day, don't dry. The people race. Solomon said, relax. Don't worry about it. There is nothing worth pursuing in life. That's what I've been learning. That's what I've been learning. Every day I see people make decisions, I just shake my head that they have not read the book of Ecclesiastes. They haven't. They don't know what's going on in life. Last time, this was where we ended. We saw that Solomon, I'm just trying to review so that we know exactly what we're doing. We saw that Solomon said, no matter how wise you are, you realize that you cannot control life. That life has traps. And we read from chapters 8 and 9. And we saw that, listen, nobody can truly say he is wise. That I've seen wise men and foolish men. You know what wisdom means in this context. And all of them come to the same end. It's as if God just plays with them. That's what it looks like. And that was why he made that statement. That the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Nor wealth to men of understanding. And all of those things that we know. He said what happens is that time and chance happen to all men. And that's why Stevie Wonder said it. That's as if stardom is a gift. Somebody just hands it to somebody. Now look at this. Don't forget it. It's under the sun. It's under the sun. I said something last time that who's the richest man in the world? Listen, there are different ways to get there. Satan often comes and offers people, bow to me and I will make you the richest man in the world. And the people who do that, they will never write it in the book. I bow to Satan. They won't write that. What they will do is tell you 15 effective keys. Progress from, they will tell you from nothing to plenty. 15 steps of breakthrough. And then young men and women who have not read Ecclesiastes will go and buy the book and be digesting it as if there's keys. You see, Christians, what are we supposed to do? This is what I say to believers all the time. Forget the promised results. Just learn the principles of life. Anytime you get a book, open it and say, what are the principles of life? And that's why you must know the Bible. So that if they tell you something that doesn't make any sense, you shake your head and say, no, forget this thing. Like I told you, I read them How to Be Rich by Paul Getty. And what is his key? They said, how do you get rich? He said, wake up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I said, oh God, why do you talk like a fool, as rich as you are? He said, why do you consider me talking like a fool? The Bible says it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. That's why I said he was talking like a fool. And secondly, strike oil. How do you determine when you will strike oil? And a man spoke at that time when the technology for striking oil was not even half as good as it is today. And again, you read in between the lines, you see where men made up their minds to drown him in his own oil. And just one man, I think the head of Royal Dutch Shell, came to the U.S. and they went and met the man. And they said he was telling this story to let you know that not every man is bad. And one single person broke the chokehold that the other people, his competitors, had on him. Many people have been choked like that, and you never find out their stories. So we read stories like that, but we always have the scriptures behind. I read Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, and it got to the point, he said, if your wife is giving you any headache, divorce her. I don't care how rich you are. You have disobeying scripture. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And Jesus said, whatever God has joined together, let no one put asunder. I was on radio the other day. Somebody called in, and she asked a question which I didn't realize that people could ask in the open. I don't know how many of you heard it. That if you are in a marriage and things are bad, your husband keeps saying it's going to be better, but things are getting worse and getting worse by the day. Can you leave? So I have to ask, this was on air, that what do you call people, things getting bad? He's beating you, he's pulling a gun or something. Are you getting my point? Or you mean financially? She said financially. In my mind, I wanted to remove my belt on air. Go. Do you get what I'm saying? Go through the airwaves to her house and flog her thoroughly. Do you get my point? So this is ground for divorce. Things are not balanced. Oh, I said, is that what you mean? She said, yes. I said, in that case, no problem. I have an answer for you. I said, financial difficulty is never ground for divorce. You know, let me tell you something. Human beings are very blind in life. She actually asked the question because she thought it was a valid question. When she said things are bad, I thought the man, you know what I expect to hear? The man drinks now, carries a gun, threatened to shoot me. He has two girlfriends. One is in our BQ. You know, those are the kind of things I expected to hear. No matter what Donald Trump says in that area, I throw it away. Like I said, so can we go to business schools? Of course we can go to business schools to know the laws and the principles of life concerning what, for example, if you bring cars into Nigeria, if you don't pay the duty, what's in for our current customs bus? Eventually we'll collect your car. So that's why we'll go out to go and learn. We know the right things to do. Because, you know, we just have to, and so that's what I'm going to teach to believers. And you see, that's for me one of the major lessons I learned from that. Just what is he saying? Just do what is right. As a believer, the duty is learn what is right and continue doing what is right. Make sure you enjoy doing it. The thing I told you once, a young man came to me, he said, these days when I give money, it makes me happy. He said, sir, am I all right? I said, do you brag about it to anybody? He said, no. I said, okay, when you are praying, do you quote it for God in prayer? He said, no. So I brought out my hand and shook his hand. I said, congratulations, you just got saved. He said, now you're a Christian. What am I going to say? You see, he's now deriving joy Because the Bible says it's more blessed. Now, if you're not a believer, you think it's more blessed to receive. And so what am I going to say? So is he going to start giving? Yes. Why? He's deriving joy in the moment. Each moment he gives, he's enjoying it. We have established here that, listen, Solomon said, don't wait for the day you receive. Because most men who receive the biggest things didn't give anybody anything. But like we said, does it mean that there's no receiving for giving? No, we didn't say so. But that life is so complex. There are so many complexities in life. You cannot say, I now have the wisdom on how to receive. I give. No. Solomon said, wait. There are some other things that are affecting it you don't know. So don't worry yourself. Each day you discover something that is good, do it. That is the lesson. Each day you discover something that is good, do it. Add it to your pack of, you know, wisdom. Yes, let's be like that. You discover something that is good, add it to it. You find out that God actually enjoys it when we pray. Start praying. It's not like, hey, now that I have learned to seek his face, I'm going to see breakthrough. No, these are thoughts that God doesn't want us to have. He wants us to enjoy the process of seeing his face. You know, I joked about it with my wife this afternoon, or this morning. I was in the room. I called, I said, come. Something important is up. So she came. So she stood near the door. I was facing the other direction. I said, come now. He said, what is it? I said, you need to come here to know what it is. So she arrived. I said, look at my face. She looked. I said, look again. She looked. He said, what is it? I said, admire the face now. I said, touch the face. Rub it. Admire it. She said, is that the important thing? I said, you don't think it's important? It's because of what we preach on Saturday. That's why I started behaving like that. Oh, she said, okay. I said, no, do it with joy. Don't just do this in. Don't do this in thing. So she stood there, looked at my face. I'm sure in her mind, saying, this is my husband there. Is this guy together? But she looked at me, you know, hey, what is that? When she, I said, hey, that's all. She said, that's all? I said, yeah, that is all. Just look at the face, admire it, and go. Now, why did I do that? You know, on Saturday we were studying, that David said, that's one thing I have desired, to see your face. He said, to behold your perfections. Just enter the temple and sit down there. And just meditate on his goodness. We don't have to every time go to the temple and say, when you come out, you are going to break through. No. Breakthrough is that I entered the temple. I stayed there. I beheld his glory. I meditated on his perfections. And that made him happy. And I came out. He said, what did you gain? I made the Lord smile. That's all. What is he going to give me? I didn't go there to go and negotiate. It's not negotiation. And that's what this book is teaching us. That let's just enjoy every moment. That's why Solomon will tell you there is nothing better than for a man to walk, eat, and say my labor is good. That's what he was trying to explain. Those are the things we've been looking at. So we looked at that up to chapter 9 last time. And I just want to go back to verse 13 of chapter 9. Then what we want to do today is from chapter 10. He now said, there is something else I saw. That's verse 13 of chapter 9. A good example of how wisdom is regarded in this world. There was a little town without many people in it. A powerful king, he said, attacked it. He surrounded it and prepared to break through the walls. Someone lived there who was poor, but so clever that he could have saved the town. But the Bible says that a poor but wise man, if you read other translations. But no one thought about him. I have always said that wisdom is better than strength. But no one thinks of the poor as wise or pays any attention to what they say. It is better to listen, he says, to the quiet words of someone wise than to the shouts of a ruler at the council of fools. Wisdom does more good than weapons, but one sinner can undo a lot of good. Now, why did I revise this? I just want to use it to go into the next chapter to bring out the fact that Solomon was emphasizing that if you're always looking for results, what did he bring, what did he not bring in life, you may miss critical wisdom when you need it. Are you getting my point? That is one of the things you must go for in life, is the ability to even discern wisdom. He said, this man could have helped, but everybody despised him. Why? They're all looking for the man that has the results. They're always looking for the man that has the results. That the man could have helped them. You get my point? That what was he trying to say? Let's go for wisdom. Let's enjoy life just on that level. Enjoy the knowledge of knowing what is right. Enjoy the idea that you know what is right and you are doing what is right. Don't compete with people on who made more money, who did not make more money. If you bother to read, like I say all the time, all this Fortune and Forbes list of the rich people, go and check it. Many times their wealth is going up and going down. They are not doing anything. Many of them just went home. While they were sleeping, Brexited. Are you getting my point? And then the pound went down in value. And all of a sudden, he's lost money. Meanwhile, he didn't lose any money. Just the value. So the man was the fifth richest man. Now he's the 18th richest man. Why? There was Brexit. What did he do? Nothing. You are getting my point here? Life is not under our control, Solomon was saying, that we just should learn to do wisely and let's, you know, enjoy the process of doing that. Now, I just wanted to read that to introduce the next point. Now, so let's now see. So he was saying that a sinner destroys much good. And in that context, a sinner is referring to a man who works as a fool. He said the man does that, he destroys much good or undoes a lot of good. Now, let's now go to chapter 10. That's where I want to start from. Now, what I perceive when I went through chapter 10 is that Solomon, having made these statements about wisdom, he now began to drop short words of wisdom, things that people should live by. Now that he had established that, listen, what you just need to do, just walk wisely in life. Don't think too highly of yourself. No matter how much you know, there's so much more you do not know. All right? And the one you know is not going to guarantee any results. That this greatness, this breakthrough we are talking about is a gift of God. Just learn to walk wisely. And like for all those of us who are believers, just learn to enjoy the doing of righteousness. And just do righteousness for the sake of righteousness. Like we read from that Psalm 45. He said, for you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. That is a concept for believers. It's just to love righteousness. All right? Having said that, I now began to drop little words of wisdom here and there. And that's the reason why I felt that we might be able to read this one quickly and finish with it, all right, today. And it will be, because I'm in a hurry, like I said last time, to get to the summary. He said, dead flies can make a whole bottle of perfume stink. That's verse 1 of chapter 10. And a little stupidity can cancel out the greatest wisdom. It is natural for the wise to do the right thing and for fools to do the wrong thing. Their stupidity will be evident even to strangers they meet along the way. They let everyone know that they are fools. Last time I began to read from Good News Translation, and that's what I'm still doing now. If your ruler becomes angry with you, do not hand in your resignation. Serious wrongs may be pardoned if you keep calm. Now, that's a word of wisdom he's issuing to us now. Now, he's not giving you observations. He's just giving you words of wisdom, things you can walk by. In the first verse, he explained to us that it's better to consistently walk in wisdom. A little stupidity can undo a lot of wisdom, like we read in the previous verse. That's the last verse of chapter 9. So now saying that if you habitually walk in wisdom, if you seek after wisdom, doing what is right will come naturally to you. Fools tend to do what is wrong all the time. Are you getting my point? It is not as if, you know, let me digress slightly. Like Christians, they say, what is the will of God? The will of God is not that which you prayed until God spoke to you. The will of God is a habit you form. That is, if you constantly fill yourself with the word of God and learn righteousness, you will naturally make decisions that are the will of God. That's what he was saying. He said, it is natural for the wise to do the right thing and for fools to do the wrong thing. Their stupidity will be evident even to strangers they meet along the way. They let everyone know that they are fools. Now, we've read that verse 4. He said now in verse 5, here is an injustice I have seen in the world, an injustice caused by rulers. This is an example of foolishness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stupid people are given positions of authority while the rich are ignored. I have seen slaves on horseback. That is the same thing he was saying. He's saying the same thing in other words. I have seen slaves on horseback while noblemen go on foot like slaves. Now, I believe that was a statement he made as one of the errors that people make in life when they don't walk in wisdom. Are you getting my point? And this, it ends up being traps for the people that are walking in wisdom. Now, let's just read this one. If you dig a pit, he says, you will fall in it. If you break through a wall, a serpent bites you, or a snake bites you. If you walk in a stone quarry, you get hurt by stones. If you split wood, you get hurt doing it. If your axe is dull and you don't sharpen it, you have to work harder to use it. It is smarter, he says, to plan ahead. Knowing how to charm a snake is of no use if you let the snake bite first. Why are you laughing? What's so funny about it? He said, what the wise say brings them honor, but fools are destroyed by their own words. They start out with silly talk, and they end up with pure madness. Meanwhile, he says, a fool talks on and on. Now, now let me just quickly explain something here. I like that this paragraph we just read. Have you heard people pray like this? The Bible says, if you break a hedge, a serpent shall bite. Now turn it to a prayer point. And sometimes we don't, of course, it's because we miss the point in these things. What Solomon actually said is that, this is a summary of it, every profession has a risk. That's what he said. The man whose job it is to break old fences, old buildings, serpents tend to hide in the cracks in the walls. So the risk is that he might get bitten. So such a man should wear gloves and boots. That's why I said that what is the point if you don't take preventive measures when you know what the risks are? Are you getting my point here? Yes. That's what he was saying when he said that knowing how to charm a snake is of no use if you let the snake bite first. So what was he saying to you? If you walk in a place where they break stones, the risk is what? A stone might injure you. If you split wood, you may get hurt doing it. That's what he was saying. And I said, if your axe is dull and you don't sharpen it, you have to work harder to use it. In summary, in all of these things, it is better, he says, to plan ahead. Now, what was Solomon saying to us? Like I was saying, I was trying to explain it. He was saying that every profession has its dangers. And this is wisdom that we should walk by. I told you he was dropping short words of wisdom. He was saying, learn the dangers of your profession. Don't let the serpent bite you first before you go and start learning how to charm the snake. Do you get the logic here? If you are going into ministry as an example, what are the risks of ministry? If you are going to become a teacher, what are the risks in the business? If you are going, whatever it is you want to do, there is a risk. For example, when those men will come to John, he always used to tell them, they'll say, what must we do? You know, when he was calling them to repentance, each person, he will give them a word concerning the risk of unrighteousness in their profession. He'll tell the tax man, don't charge them more than the right amount of tax. And if you know the way it was those days, the tax collector, you know they use that in Lagos. But that's how they were doing it. It's a tax collector system they were using in Lagos. I don't know whether it's been modified now. What do I mean by that? So different accountants, you know, handle different zones. So you may come to a place like New Haven. You can have an accounting firm somewhere around that handles the whole of New Haven. So that way, the government doesn't need to worry itself. The accounting firm just has this New Haven to handle. So they can go office to office, noting what you do, what you are doing. I mean, it's not too big for a business. And they write everything down, and they pay you a visit. And they want to see how much tax you have paid over the last 3 years. And all you have is your Eswama receipt. For 3 years? No, it won't work. By law, they are supposed to go through your books, but you know, some of these, they can't do the details. But you sit down and finish negotiating, and then you give you how much you're supposed to pay, and you go and pay to the tax authority. They're not collecting the money from you. Then they get their own commission from what they are supposed to get. Now, the Romans did something like that those days. They just went, they took a local person. So when you finish catching fish, the man is waiting. All this amount of fish, which one belongs to Caesar inside? And then because he's the one that they know, are you getting my point? He's the one that can tell the Romans, this guy caught 5 tons of fish. He's paying tax as if he's only on 3 tons. It's what he says that's final. So he was a very powerful person, and he grew up wealthy, of course. They ended up becoming very wealthy because of that. So one of the things they can do is to overcharge people because they get their money from what they raise from taxes. And the human nature is simply like that. if you try and take advantage of the situation. That's why when they will come to John, John will say to them, don't charge people more taxes than they are supposed to pay. If you come to the soldier, which in those days, in modern day, that's the equivalent of both the soldier and the policeman. All right? He will say, don't take anything from anybody by force. And you and I know what I'm talking about in modern day. That means the Christian is going into the armed forces, is going into the police, is going into customs, you know, those kind of areas. The risk is there. So every profession, we're saying, has what? Has its risks. Sometimes the risk of a profession is that they don't go to church anymore. They make so much money, they are flying around the world. Sometimes it's like that. But the point is that, what was it saying? Before the risk comes upon you, put in protective or preventive measures. And we see that from the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they got this, what is the risk in Babylon? Eating food, and then adapting yourselves to the society and defiling yourself by what is going on in the environment. So they sat down and said, let us take our preventive measure. So they proposed in their hearts, we are going into Babylon, but guys, we will not do anything that they are doing in Babylon. The thing did not come to them by surprise. They made up their minds ahead of time not to participate in the iniquity that is going on in Babylon. If you have a young child, maybe he's going to school, going to university, these are the kind of things you sit down. Don't let him discover by accident. This is what is going to happen when you get there. This is what young men, young women like to get involved in. And you talk about it and give them, this is how to handle the matter. That's what he was saying. It is not when things have gone wrong, you now start looking for how to rehabilitate. That's what Solomon was saying. These are just a simple piece of wisdom he was telling us. Let's walk by this piece of wisdom. Now, let's just continue reading. He said, no one knows what is going to happen next. That's just the second part of chapter four, of verse 14. And no one can tell us what will happen after we die. Only someone too stupid to find his way home will wear himself out with work. Now, again, what he was trying to say is that even though you are laboring should have its limits. That is just a simple statement there. These are short pieces of wisdom he was telling us. A country is in trouble when its king is a youth and its leaders feast all night long. But a country is fortunate to have a king who makes his own decisions and leaders who eat at the proper time, who control themselves and don't get drunk. Another piece of wisdom, when you are too lazy to repair your roof, it will leak and the house will fall in. That is, little by little, neglect accumulates until the house finally collapses. He said, feasting makes you happy and wine cheers you up, but you can't have either without money. What was he saying? No matter what it is that you really want, you know, as happiness, joy, you want to have food, you want to have wine, please go out, be diligent, and make some money first. That's what he was trying to say. I don't know whether you get the logic there. These are little pieces of wisdom, all right? I like a big television. Don't go and price the television. Go and work. When you have the money, you get the logic. That's what Solomon was saying. He was just telling people that know the things that are fundamental in life and work by them. Another piece of wisdom, don't criticize the king even silently. And don't criticize the rich, even in the privacy of your bedroom. A bird might carry the message and tell what you said. I don't think there's any need to explain anything there. Let's now go to verse 11. Like I said, I'm really heading to the end, which is chapter 12. I hope I can get there. Now, chapter 11. I'd like to read that one, first of all, in a common translation, and then we'll now go down to the Good News translation that I've been reading. It says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, this New American Standard, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain on the earth, and whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Let me just stop in verse 4 there, and then go back to the good news we were reading before. There's a reason why I read, I want people to be able to relate with what good news is saying, because these are well-known verses of scripture. Because if I just read it in the good news, you wonder which one am I referring to. Now, let me read that one here. It said, cast your bread upon many waters. Look at what good news is. Invest your money in foreign trade. That is, so I had to read the other side first so that you know what I'm talking about. And one of these days, you will make a profit. Put your investments in several places, many places even, because you never know what kind of bad luck you are going to have in this world. He said, no matter which direction a tree falls, it will lie where it fell. When the clouds are full, it rains. Now, you know what I found here? Let me just explain that. Okay, let me read the next portion, and then I will now explain. If you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you will never plant anything and never harvest anything. If you read in the Living Bible, it says, anybody waiting for conditions to be perfect will never get anything done. That is that's the best translation I ever saw of that. Anybody waiting for conditions to be perfect will never get anything done. What was Solomon saying here? Let me just explain it briefly. Remember, we're talking about what short words of wisdom that was given to people. He said, cast your bread upon many waters. That is, this one says, invest your money. Well, actually, I think what's more appropriate to say, invest your money in many ventures. That's what he was trying to explain. Don't try and play it safe. Like I said, in life, have fun doing what you are supposed to be doing. That's what he was trying to explain. He said that if you keep your money, wherever a tree falls, there it lies. Do you understand? If you keep your money hidden somewhere, it's just going to remain at that level. Remember that unprofitable servant? The one that took the master's single this thing and buried it. That was a tree that fell somewhere and it was lying down there. But those who multiplied their mina, their talents, many times over, they obeyed the words of Solomon, which said, put out that money into many investments. There's a practical application for everybody. If you have a gift, use it constantly. Now, that's my own application of it for everybody. That is, for example, I give you as an example. This is my very good example. Sometimes people come to you and say, please, I need money. What do you need money for? Say, I want to launch my own album. I want to record my own album. So the person is trying to raise maybe like 100,000 naira. So he comes to beg you, say, please, what can you help me with? So you give him 5,000. He comes to Steve, collects another 5,000. After going around, raise about maybe 100,000. And then goes to book recording sessions. Are you getting my point? And then I say, I want to release my own album. Praise God, though. Hallelujah. You know what I say to people? That's a foolish way to go about it. Why do you want to do that? You say you know how to sing. Let me tell you the truth about life. I haven't said anything, you're already laughing. Let me finish saying what I want to say now. Mary, take it easy. Let me tell you how to handle it. You know, sometimes because people can easily ask for money, they come with all kinds of ideas. One day, a man came to one of my colleagues one day and said he needed money. He's a musician. That is, when he releases his video, that people will get to know him. How much do you need for video? 300,000. Now, I told him, why didn't you refer him to me? Let me help him out. Now, just in case, let me just tell you, if somebody comes to you, you don't know, he said that he has a gift to sing, he wants to release a video, you should give him money. Can I beg you for something? Don't give him. If your younger brother, that's even better. Don't give him at all. If you don't know him, it's easier. Tell him, I don't know you. But if he comes and says, bros, I've not eaten in a while, why are you doing like this? Then buy him food. But that money to go and do video, you know what I wanted to say before you started laughing is this. When it comes to singing, in case you don't know, most human beings think they can sing. 50% of people think they can sing. Okay, because I said most, let me say 51. Everybody think they can act, apart, unless they are very shy. Can you act? You don't know. Steve, can you act? You have become too wise. I'm asking wise people. I should go and look for a congregation of fools and ask them. You will discover. When I say fools, now please don't be angry with me. Solomon's fool I'm talking about too. You will discover that most people actually think that they can act. One day I went to do a program on campus. I said, ask questions. He said, I know I have a gift of acting. Next person, I have the gift of acting. Next person, I have a gift for singing. Next person, I have a gift of comedy. Next person, I have a gift for stage performance. Next person, After a while, I said, what is going on here? How did God manage to gather all the actors and musicians on this campus and singers to come and talk to me, for me to talk to? Until I realized the problem. It was not them. It was Two-Face that caused the confusion. This was years ago when Two-Face first did the advert for, is it Gouda or Stout? That one that is, everybody say, me too legit to quit. He did it for as an album. And that was the album. I didn't even know about the album. I saw the advert start, have you? And that time, the rumor, I don't know whether it's true, was that he was paid 40 million naira thereabout for it. Now every boy can't realize he didn't get talent. They started digging it out from under the drawer. It was the time that Omotola and Genevieve were reigning. They would just do one movie, and I've been there when these people do these movies, 2 weeks. I used to live in the guest house where they used to come and lodge. You see them 2 weeks. So they've used my car before for movie, which was very good because that time my wife and I were flat broke. We just came to town. I had not been paid my first salary. My wife too just arrived. She had not been paid anything. So two of us were just looking and just believing God. And they said, please, can we borrow your car? For what? Say they want to act a scene in a movie. How much? Is it 2,000? The guy even stole part of the money. But anyway, the little that was remaining, God has different ways he works. So. And so we take him money that day. So, you know, around that time, that they just come. I mean, I used to see them. They come, all of them, you know. What's the name of this woman? And all of them, they used to come around us. In fact, some local used to live around us most of the time. Anyway, they will act like that for 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks. And those days, not now. They get paid 1 million naira. 500,000 naira. That was why every young man, every young woman suddenly had the gift for acting and the gift for singing. Because no matter how much work you did that time, you graduated from school, at least I know how much doctors were paid. They pay you well, very well. They give you like 50,000. One whole month of labor. You don't work from morning till night. Take call. They give you 50K. Then one body will stay on the set for 2 weeks and they get 1 million. No, check out. If no be say you go to church, you say no go get acting gift. Your acting gift will come out now. Now, what am I going to say? So when people come up like that with those kind of stories, I tell them, listen, forget that thing. Go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Don't go around raising money. Don't give the fellow any. Because he thinks he can sing. Everybody thinks so. So what, you know what the advice I always give them? It's simple. You can sing, eh? Very nice. How many weddings have you sung for? How many? How many weddings have you sung for? You go there and say, I'm the musician for the day. Provide live music for them. You don't do that. You're looking for my money to shoot a video. You go to church. Trick your pastor now, small. Are you getting my point? He won't know. He will enjoy it. Because we pastors, we like anybody that can sing very well in church. That's why you saw those American musicians, a lot of them. They were singing in choir. Join the choir in church. Sing. They let people come and tell me that you can sing. Not you coming to tell me that you can sing. Only for me to, what you want for me to contribute money, then you do video and the whole world will like you. Believe me, just tune NTA, see video. That place, government house, that open field, Okwara Square. Drive past there regularly, just park, wait, they will soon come. Everybody just they're dancing. They are there shooting video. All of them believe me, say if they shoot the video, they go hammer. You and I know, say, no guy. Ever since the days of, what the flavor? Who has done come up from Enugu like that? Yeah, now who now? Okay, Fino, thank you. That's how many years? If you count Two Face, Fino, and over the last 20 years, only three. And you know how many videos they don't shoot in front of that place? They've shot the video, assassinated the video, stabbed the video, done everything to video in front of the place. Nothing. Know the truth? Videos don't make it. So you know what Solomon said? It's simple. Cast your bread upon many waters. If you know you have a gift, get up morning, afternoon, and night. Use it. That's the point I'm making. Use it. You know, Nigerians, we wed every Saturday. Have you noticed that? Do you know how many weddings are going on? Smuggle yourself somewhere. Nobody will say no if you're offering it for free at a time for some time. And if you really are gifted, that's how you will find out. Because when you finish, the chief bridesmaid will come and say, okay, how are you, sir? God bless you. Because the friend has said, we didn't pay anything. And she's wedding in 2 weeks' time. She'll come and meet you. God bless you. You know, I was so blessed by your ministration today. I don't know whether you are free next week. The answer is yes, you are free. Trust me, you are free. You are free. Now, what else are you doing? Just this is how the thing starts. You just simply say, please, she can't meet you. Now she knows. So you just explain to her that, well, the equipment we used today was not very, very good. We just need to upgrade it a little bit. So just tell them to add small, more equipment that they will hire for the distance. You see, they're not charging anything. He said, are we paying you anything? He said, no. I'm a man of God. No, honorarium is all I call. Anything you give me. Anything. It's just for now. Just leave her. After some time, you go begin charging. But for now, you're a man of God. You know, pastors are very funny. Pastors are not allowed to charge. And that's how they treat them anyhow. You go to a program, they give the comedian 100,000. They tell the man of God, God bless you for coming. They give you a pack of juice. It's true now. But anyway, just simply tell them, look, I'm not charging anything. And really, you're not pretending. You're not charging anything. But the first day, two people ask you to come on the same day, you put a price. Then when five people say come on the same day, you increase the price. Then when your phone is jamming each other, you realize your name is Two-Face. Listen, I'm not kidding. That was what Solomon meant when he said, cast your bread upon many waters. He said, but if you don't do that, wherever a tree that falls down lies, a hidden talent remains exactly where you hid it. He said, but if you don't do that, when the clouds are full, it was contrasting two things there. No matter what direction a tree falls, there it lies. But if you keep on pouring forth your gift into the clouds, one day the clouds will become full, then you pour forth rain. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yes. You know what I found a lot of times, especially those of us who are preachers? I know many people who are called to preach. You know what they are looking for? They say, listen, let me first build a house. Let me first make it first. Do my business. Hammer well. They will not come to the ministry. They will know we did not come for money's sake. All these pastors who are moving around, people think they came to make money. I'm not going to let that happen to me. There's one problem with it. You know what they do? Their tree falls somewhere. While they are taking 15 years. One thing Solomon forgot to tell us, which is, you know, he just said we should have known, that when the tree falls somewhere and lies down there, it's rotting away there. Yes, when it falls there, what do you think it's doing? Germinating. It's rotting away there. I've seen this again and again. By the time the person returns to ministry, all the boys that were still smoking igbo, when he was laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they are now the big pastors. They have given their lives to Christ. They have been born again. They have gone to Bible school, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit has anointed them. They are on fire. And he starts telling stories. 25 years ago, we were preaching. Where was that boy? You forget that you were preaching 25 years ago. Then your tree fell somewhere. You get what I'm saying? But that boy kept on pouring what? His smoke, his vapor into the clouds. Then one day it begins to rain, anointing heavily on his head. And you're saying story of 25 years ago. Believe me, that's what Solomon was saying. That's why good news said invest in foreign trade. Or why he used the word foreign trade is because when he said cast your bread upon many waters, what he meant by many waters is ocean. Your bread, your grain, put it on ships. Let it go out to different places. That's why good news use the expression, cast your bread, invest your money in foreign trade. But that whole paragraph is gathered together. What was he saying there? Please, whatever it is that God has given you, pour it out constantly. When you do that, peradventure one day, the cloud will be full and it will pour forth rain. But if you say, let me keep it here, let me go and bury my father first, according to that story of Jesus. He said, the tree will lie down there, it will be rotting away. Do you get the point I'm making? No, we don't need to say more than that. I think it's clear enough. Then he now said, how would that happen? How would that principle occur? I mean, how would the pouring off of rain occurs? Now, verse 4. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. He that waits for conditions to be perfect will get nothing done. I think we can easily apply to what we have said now. If you are waiting for, okay, let me shoot my video first. Let me get the best microphones. Are you getting my point? If you ever read this book, Outliers, it talks about the 10,000 hour principle. It's a scriptural principle. Essentially, the more you use your gift, the better you become at it. That's the summary of it. And Solomon was saying, please use it constantly. When the clouds are full. Now remember this, these are what? simple wisdom principles of life that he said, operate by this all the time. We already established that we are not saying that this is the key. Once you do this, you will hammer. No, we didn't say that. We just said, but this is the right principle to operate by. You have a gift, you have something you are doing, or you have many gifts. If you are not sure, use all of them. Are you getting my point? Use all of them. David was a shepherd, a musician, and I guess he was also a good hunter. The man was just there every day, doing everything together. And it was while he was doing, the music took him to the presence of the king. His character inside him took him to the presence of God and the presence of Samuel, and they anointed him king. When he became king, he was not shepherding anybody anymore, any sheep anymore. He had left that level. That is, many bread, cast your bread upon many waters. Just use everything that is in your hands. When people say there is no work, I don't like to hear it really. I believe that you just get up in the midst of what is available, do something. It is better than idleness anytime. That's what Solomon is telling us. They fire you from work last week, and you sit down today, you're not doing anything, no problem. Maybe God says you should go and pray, Abi. Fine, ask God how many days, 40 days. At the end of 40 days, you get up and start looking for something. Don't stay at home and rot away. Like I said a lot of times, you look for things. I told the story of a friend of mine who lost his job working in one of these financial institutions. But he was already planning to get married or something. But how was he keeping body and soul together? He was a postgraduate student in Unilag. So he just goes around the other students offering to give them lectures, help them with assignments, teach the people. They were paying him small money. Those who are preparing for ICANN, he was a very brilliant chap. He was giving ICANN lectures, accounting lectures. That's all he was doing. Until finally God opened the door for him. And the day I saw him next, it was so hard for me to believe the level he had risen to in just a few years. But I remember that young man did not sit down around the house doing nothing. That's the meaning of cast your bread upon many waters. He said, if you are waiting for conditions to be perfect, you will not get anything done. But if you don't wait for the conditions to be perfect, that's verse 4. All right? You will pray the fact that when the clouds are full, they will pour forth rain upon the earth, which is read in verse 3. What God says now is in verse 5. Just as you do not know how the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. How will God cause it to happen? You don't know. I've told this story countless times. Ron Kenoly wanted to sing. He wanted to record albums. And nobody listened to him. He was used to singing clubs and all of that. Then he became a believer. He said, I want to sing gospel music. And he was writing letters to everybody, sending his demo tape. And they were not interested in his demo tape. Nobody wanted to listen to him. But this is the point. At that time, he was what we call, in Nigeria, we call maybe a choir director or something. Americans called him the music pastor. He was a music pastor in the church. And that was the job he was doing. So when they got the last, sorry, we're not interested, later reply, he decided to go to the church and play for God. He played very hard on the instruments. And then he said to the Lord, that's it, I'm done. I'm not sending demo tape to anybody again. I'm not asking anybody anymore. And then he just continued his job. That's the point I'm making. When the clouds are full, he just continued his job in the church, which is leading praise worship, coordinating the choir, making sure instrument is good in church on Sunday. That was his paid that's where he was earning income from. And then one day, I think Michael Coleman, you know, I've not been able to find out which of the two. I keep on saying either Michael Coleman or Don Moen. He mentioned the name, but I knew it was some of the two, but I can't remember which one exactly. Came to the church. He did not know who Michael Coleman was. Let's assume it was Michael Coleman. He didn't know who it was. But the man came for the church service. Whether somebody told him about it or he was just passing, I don't know. But the music, the praise worship that day was so good that at the end of the service, the man went to meet Ron Kenoly. I'm an executive director with Hosanna Music. I would like you to pray about, said, here's my card. Please pray about recording an album with us. That day, he said to us, it was a small minister's meeting. He came to Lagos. I was there then. He said, that was one thing I never had to pray about. He said, that was one thing I didn't pray about. What? See what happened. The prayer I prayed 5 years ago, you think it's not working now? All the prayers I've been praying for the last 2 years, what do you think happened? They are still working. Don't need to. This is the answer. How can you be praying about the answer? You smoke something. This is the answer. That's it. They now did Jesus is Alive. That was the first album. When they did Jesus is Alive, it was okay. Many of us didn't know much about it. Then after that, they now did Lift Him Up. Till today. Till today, we are still lifting Him up. The Lord is still using Lift Him Up till today. By the time he was telling us that story, he came to Nigeria then. He said just before he left the U.S., he had been declared the best-selling praise worship album ever produced on the earth. That time. That was when Jesus Alive began to sell. We were all Lift Him Up. They said, here's another album. Where is it? They went to go and buy Jesus Alive. When the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. But if he had buried that thing, wherever he kept it, there it will lie. You get the logic here. But you see, one of the things we began this thing, I need to reemphasize it. Because when we get to points like this, if people think they have discovered the key, we have to let them know. Solomon has first said that, listen, we don't know how it works. But what are the wisdom principles, wisdom keys we are supposed to live life by every day? This is one of them. So he said, just do it. Just be doing it. Don't be idle. People didn't allow him to join their recording label. He said, no problem. I will go and be singing in church on Sunday. He took a job, a paid employment as what they call a music pastor. Now we're in Nigeria talking about him. This was many years ago. The Lord is good. How will God do it? How did God arrange for Michael Coleman to be in that service? He said, it's just like bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman. So you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. That's verse 5. For that reason, what did he say? For that reason, he says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. The same thing as verse 1, in other words. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. I think the lesson is clear there. It's very clear. Now let's continue reading verse 7. Where do I continue this from? All right. He said, it is good to be able to enjoy the pleasant light of day. Be grateful for every year you live. No matter how long you live, remember that you'll be dead much longer. It's not me that said that. It's good news translation. So there's nothing at all to look forward to. Again, Solomon was looking at life under the sun. So he was saying, listen, for every day you have, perform all these wise principles that we have explained to you. That is how we live. There's something I just want to bring out. That verse 8 in New Living Translation, New American Standard, which I read normally. Let me just read it. They say, the light is pleasant and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Now, of course, we've seen the way Good News Translation renders that. But of course, there's another way to look at it. Because we'll get down to verse 9 later. We'll see that. What was he saying? It was the days of darkness may be referring to the days of old age. So that sunny days are the days of young manhood. The days you have energy. He was saying that while you have that energy, do this casting of your bread upon many waters, on the surface of the waters. He said, make sure you continually allow your cloud to be full while you have energy. Fill up your cloud with activity. That's one way to look at it. Now, let's now go down to verse 9. Now, we are getting to the conclusion. This was where the conclusion of Solomon began. And this was where, as I told you, I was rushing to get to. In fact, if we can't finish this today, I'll gladly finish this next time. In fact, I would like to finish this maybe next time so that it will not be a summary of everything. All right? Now, I'm reading New American Standard. Rejoice, young man, verse 9, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. That's what I have explained to you all the while Solomon was saying. He said, yet know something for sure. Know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Now he's introducing the above the sun level now. He said, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Let me just say something before I continue reading. If I was the one that divided this, I would have divided chapter 12 to start from where verse 9 of chapter 11 is now. That is the first statement of the next portion. He said, rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also, can you see the way it flows? Remember also the Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Let me stop here, because from verse 2 to go down, we will need to do quite some explaining. So that's why I need to stop in that verse 1. Now, please, this is a book that, let me just say this as I'm beginning, because now we are coming to the end. Even if we don't finish it today, we will certainly finish it by God's mercy next time. And I may need to leave it because I'm looking at my time, because I really want to summarize everything and give us the core lessons properly. So I may need to leave that till next time. But let me see how far I can go today. Now, this is a book that it is best read, like I said, in a simple translation. I just read New American Standard most of the time because there are many things I needed to pick here and there. And sometimes I will go to other translations. The best translation I found is Good News Translation to get the substance. And if you want to read it, it is best to read it at a go. Breaking it into chapters and verses is quite a disservice to yourself. It's better to just start from the beginning and try and just catch the flow through and through. Even though we have gone over this over these last many days of studying this, I would like each person to still take like a Good News Translation, New Living Translation, and read it through and through. God's Word Translation, read it through and through. All right? Now, what am I trying to explain? Solomon was building up. So you see things here and there that you wouldn't understand the significance if you did not read the earlier parts and have it in your mind still. If you've forgotten it, you'll miss the point. For example, here he says to you, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. He said, do everything you want to do. Follow the impulse of your heart. Remember, he's been telling you, enjoy this, enjoy that. There's nothing better than to enjoy and all of that. He's been saying it. That is what he's summarizing here. He said, but no matter what you enjoy, know that God will bring you to judgment for all of them. I'll talk about the meaning of the word judgment in a moment. He now says, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body. What does that mean? Remove this getting angry about why is there injustice in the world. You know, we talked about that earlier. Why is the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer? Say, remove that thing from your eyes. Why are you wondering that? How come a king appointed a fool as a minister? Meanwhile, wise people are there doing nothing. He said, remove that thing from your eyes. Remove all this getting angry with the society. By now, the sun should have stopped shining. The rain should have been falling. It's APC that's causing all of this problem. Because they continually blame PDP. That's what he was saying. Remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body. Because you don't have all the time to do the things that God wants you to do. Many people are busy. Let me tell you something about life. If you keep on focusing on things that are negative, listen to me. You will walk in life like a fool. What do I mean by that? You will walk away from what God wants you to do. You will walk away. I'm telling you, you will walk away from the place where God wants you to be. Let me explain what I say here. Do you know, many times we will sit down in this country, some of us will be analyzing people making decisions about life. And sometimes you will look at it and you will be marveled. No, Israel was telling me today about somebody who will earn money in Nigeria. A whole month laboring hard, a lot of money. I won't tell you exactly how much. Then that money only pays 1 month's rent in America, where the person dropped the children. Now, with 2 months of that rent, you will pay for a very big house in Enugu. I happen to know rent, even in cheap, I'm not talking about New York. Even if you go to areas that are not too expensive, an area where you pay that amount of money in a month, the house is not fantastic. Now, a massive house is what they are paying over there in 2 months that will pay that rent in Nigeria for a whole year. But from what I heard, these are people who own their own houses, so you can be sure. They don't even need to pay it. They ask yourself, why do people go through all of this hassle? I have seen people live settled, that is, they have a decent income, decent family, they are settled. You see a 50-year-old man uproot his wife and children and say they are going to America. 2 years later, they are still struggling, trying to put things together. They come back to Nigeria after like maybe 5-6 years, see the people that they left behind. They, you know, like one day, one of our brothers came back from the US. I think he had not been around for a while. So he went around, visited different people in Lagos, because he came to Enugu, went to the north and everything. And he kept on saying, when he was talking with me, he said, you people are doing very well. You people are doing well. You people are doing well. I was pinching my wife that, did you think we were sleeping before, because you went to America? I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know what happens to people who travel abroad a lot is that they are frozen in their minds at the time they left. So if they and their friends were all hustling, they're all hustling, struggling for small money, they just assume that those boys are still there. So when they return later, they expect they'll give you $50 and you'll be excited. They don't realize as they were making progress there, what do you know they carry last? We're there here, eh? Boys, I'm telling you, boys are moving every day. So now, what I'm saying all of this is that, see, many people who I see make some of these decisions, when they're making the decisions, I'm surprised. They did not have to. One of our brothers will tell me, he said, listen, I pray that money will not send us on errand. Because in a place where people earn huge amounts of money, yet you see his colleagues, park wife and children, and say they are keeping them in Canada. Why they stay in Nigeria? And some women, if I look at some of the women, I say, thank God. Thank God for your life. In his mind, he will soon collect your husband. Don't worry. You have left the man alone in that place. And the guy is not a believer. In fact, his own is that they've collected your husband. Thanks for donating him. Now, but you know what I'm talking about it? Why do people make some silly decisions? It is simple. Because they did not put grief and anger away from their heart. Some people just wake up in the morning, make up their mind that Jonathan is a bad man, Buhari is another bad man. Gather the two of them together and they are angry every day. Because they are angry, they depart from where they could have prospered simply because they are angry. That's something I want you to understand. When Solomon said, look, put grief and anger away from your heart. Put them away. What was he saying? Please, forget all these things that are annoying you. Why are they rigging election? In America, they don't rig election. You know, you've heard us kind of, meanwhile, America is investigating how Russia rigged the election for them. Then people get angry every day, and the Bible says, he that is waiting, Solomon was saying, waiting for conditions to be perfect, will get nothing done. You see, like I said the other time, you see people who are not, they don't have industry, they don't have anything, they are not manufacturing anything, they say there's no constant power. Is there constant power in this country right now? No. But I ask myself, you that don't have any industry, why should you open your mouth and say there's no constant? You can. It's a comment like, the sky is blue this morning. It's just a comment. If you are not manufacturing, please stop thinking about it. It's none of your business. Those that should be thinking about it and concerned about it are those who are manufacturing, who are running businesses, who have hotels, guest houses, places where they need to burn a lot of diesel to keep things moving. If there's no constant power, they should be the one talking. But not the interesting part, those ones, even if they talk, they are not slack. They keep on keeping things moving. When I see one small boy and his small wife and his smaller child, three of them will gather in the house and be whining morning after, like I say, sleep on the balcony. What's your problem? Listen, let me not go over that again. I get angry when I get to that particular point. The Bible, we know what Solomon said to us, put grief and anger away from your heart. Why? You don't have all the time. You shouldn't waste your time whining and complaining. In the midst of the troubles, please get up. Remember where we began from? Sow your seed in the morning. At night, don't stop sowing your seed. Please, let me say this as I close. If God called you to be a preacher, don't wait till you make money to start preaching. No? Do you know why? For you particularly, you don't have much time. That one is very, very important. Stop waiting for conditions to be perfect. People have told me things like, when I have investment that's producing me enough passive income to be able to live on, I will now start preaching. If you don't know the meaning of the word unbelief, I just gave it to you. That is the meaning of the word unbelief. I can't trust God to take care of anything. I must have my passive income well secured there. Then I can now start preaching. Please, in case you did not know it before, that is the definition of what? Unbelief. It's not only for preachers. It's for everybody. Many of us have things burning in our hearts that we know we are supposed to do. Have you ever seen somebody, you know how you know somebody who's not called to do business? You know how you know them? I'll tell you. They say, If I can only get 100,000 right now, I know the kind of business I want to do. Just forget that person. If you have money, don't give him more. He will lose your money. Hey, I'm warning you. He will throw away your money. Because those who have done businesses, they start with 1,000 naira, 500 naira. You get one plantain chips where I chop this afternoon. They will see that plantain. They say, this thing is nice. How much is it? They tell you, is this amount? Say, can I get a discount on it? They will buy five and go to their friend's office and say, who wants to buy? They sell it. At the end of the day, they've made 100. It looks small to you. Don't worry. It's not the size of the money. It's the attitude of the heart that realize that this 100 naira will soon become 10 million. Just watch me. But those who are not called to it, they say, well, can you give me 500,000? Why? I have one idea. I've told you, ideas are very dangerous. Jobless people have a lot of ideas. Are you getting my point? Those who are really called to do this, they believe me, they start, I God, with 1,000 naira he has started. What am I saying? Those who are waiting for conditions to be perfect, they get nothing done. For that reason, let me end with that. Solomon said, take what? Anger away from your heart. Take grief away. Things that are making, what do you mean by grief? If somebody dies, that's grief, right? That's grief, right? It's not only human beings that die. Jobs die also. You get to work one day, company say, we are folding up. Job, don't die with that. You can lie down there and be angry for the last, I've worked for this for the last 10 years. Look at, they just folded up overnight. They didn't even ask my counsel whether they can fold up or not. That is what? Grief. Put grief away from your eyes, from your heart. Are you getting my point? Get up in the midst of all of that and start sowing your seed. He says, sow your seed in the morning and at night, don't stop sowing your seed. He said, you don't know which one will prosper or whether both of them alike will do well. He said, when the clouds are full, then they can pour rain upon the earth. But because of grief and anger, many people allow their trees to lie down where it fell to. I hope you got to my point here. Remember, Solomon said, these are what? The tips, simple tips of life. I just wanted us to bear that in mind. He said, we don't have all the time. There's a season of life called young manhood. That is when you are sowing your seed. Please read my book because I don't have time now to explain this. We take too much of my time. The book, Choices Key to Destiny. I quoted this scripture in there. And I explained that one life will be later. Let me just say that one and I close with it. It said, yet no, verse 9, that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. It is what you are doing cheerfully. What you are doing constantly. Those little things that you make a habit of that determine what God will do with your life later on. That's the meaning. Listen to me. Everything in life is a temptation. If you get a job, it's a temptation. If you lose a job, it's a temptation. If you get money, it's a temptation. If you spend money, it's a temptation. What I mean by that is that it's a trial. God is watching what you are doing each step of the way. Look. You wanted to marry, the girl said, they marry again. It's a temptation. And that girl said, why waste your time? Marry me. It's a temptation. Are you getting my point? How you handle a situation is what we are talking about. Every single situation, Solomon said, I've checked it, guys. God is putting it together. Young women, he said, God is putting these things together. So he said, make sure, let me add a Christian word to it now. Make sure you apply Christian principles, righteousness, into handling every situation. Create a habit of the works of righteousness. He said, God will bring it to judgment. That's what it means for all these things. Life has two seasons. There is a season of what I call the young, using that expression, young manhood. And then there is a season later on where people begin to reap the things that they sowed in the earlier seasons of life. What you will be like at the age of 60, it is not then you will determine it. It is now that you are 20-something. 16, 18, 20, 25. That's when God is determining what you will do with a man's life when he's 65, with a woman's life when she's 65. I hope you're getting my point here. And these are the things that Solomon is teaching us. He said, for that reason, let me just read that next line so we can close with it. He said, He said, for that reason, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. If you read from verse 2, I won't read it now. I'm just introducing. But before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, the clouds return after the rain. We'll read it again next time. In the day that the watchmen of the house trembled and all of that. If you read some modern translation, which we'll read next time, you will see he was describing what it means to be an old man. He was using these different things. Sun and light referring to the eyes. Are you getting my point? Talking about watchmen of the house. He's talking about your legs. He's talking about the grinding ones that are walking. That was referring to your teeth. Different things there. He was just describing the latter days of life. Many people, that is when they start looking for God. Solomon said, no. Solomon said, no. It is now. It is the earlier days of life that is the most appropriate season. But we'll talk about that last thing the next time. Because the most important thing is the last portion. That's chapter 12, is in two portions. The first portion, we'll read it, and then we'll now get to the last portion. And the verse, last verse is the summary of everything. The conclusion, he said, when all has been heard, is fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person, or this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. We'll conclude that next time. Apparently, I can't finish that today. The Lord is good. I hope you've got my point today. I hope Solomon is clearer to us. That's the aim. This book is full of what? Lessons. When you finish with Solomon, I think life should be easier. Life should be easier. Life should be easier. You can't determine when you get results. You can only determine the kind of seeds you plant in life. I hope you get my point here. Life should be easier. Life should be easier. You can't determine how the results will come. Don't worry. Just make a habit of doing what is right. And make sure you enjoy it. Listen, so many people are doing righteousness and they don't enjoy it. Let me explain what I'm saying. And pastors are very, very terrible. They are the ones that create those problems. They will tell you that if the offering you are giving does not pain you, listen to me, if it pains you, you won't do it two times. Why are they laughing? I'm telling the truth now. He will say, if it doesn't pain you, believe me, if it pains you, you won't get anything. You know why? The Bible says, don't get tired of doing good. He said, in due season, you will reap your reward. If you don't faint. If it's paining you every time, bros, you will faint. Let me just advise you, don't give offering that pains you. See, I shouldn't give a lot of money. That's the difference. There's a difference. Like I told you, if I had 1 million naira and I gave 1 million, it doesn't pay me. God is my witness. It does not pain me. What am I saying? It's not the giving that the problem is. The attitude I'm talking about. Create a habit that enjoys righteousness. That's what I'm saying. Create a habit that enjoys righteousness. So it is fun when you and your wife have given out everything and labored hard and you don't have money. I'll laugh about it. Not a eh. And pastor said that God will multiply it. This is the second week now. God hasn't multiplied it. Only what did we do? The Lord is good. What am I saying? Build yourself up to a level where if you give up all the money you have, you and your wife will laugh about this. Eh? Okay? I bet there's no meat to boil that rice like that. Just like that, if you complain about meat, you go eat kuelo. You know, make a joke of it. That way, you can make doing good what? A habit. Say, what if I give that amount to you, pay me? Bros, don't give it yet. Give half. Give the one you can enjoy giving. The next time, you can increase it. God is not looking for who to, you know, punish. He's looking for who can obey him and, in quote, enjoy obeying him. That's what we are saying. Let's make a habit of righteousness. In due season, we will reap the reward if we don't get tired. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's bow down our heads and say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you for liberation. Say, Lord, for liberating truth. Thank you. For liberating truth. Thank you. Pray again. Say, Lord, teach my heart to enjoy righteousness. It's an important prayer. Say, Lord, teach my heart to enjoy righteousness. I want to enjoy righteousness, doing righteously. Say, Lord, teach my heart to enjoy righteousness. Say, I use my members again as instruments of righteousness. One more prayer point, based on what we learned earlier. Just pray simply and say, Lord, guide me into casting my bread on many waters. You understand the principle? There's a gift. There's something inside your heart. Lord, just guide me. That is a simple thing. I gave an example of somebody who can sing. Open the doors for me so I can go to those places. There is a gift inside your heart. Just say, Lord, guide me. Lead me. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you for liberating truth. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless somebody on your left or your right.
This is our season of multiplication
and dominion. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication. Please bless one more person. Multiplication and dominion in the name. Now personalize it. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. All right, cherub brethren. God bless you.